Preachers should preach the kingdom. I guess it's all right for a preacher to talk about preachers, so I'm going to talk about preachers this morning. And I'm going to include any of you who know the gospel of the kingdom in relation to your personal witness. There are so many things today going on in the world that many of us, and not just preachers, but lay people and Sunday school teachers and other people, are tempted to go out and talk to other people about everything but the gospel of the kingdom. They can talk about the enemies and the communists and the liberals and how bad the church is, or how good the church is, or their bowling game, or their business, or their job, or the nation, and anything all the way from personal family problems right up to the greatest international problems that we face, such as how come we're going over to Red China and things like that. But at least directly to preachers, I want to make a statement and prove that preachers should preach the gospel of the kingdom, and lay people, to the extent that they're called, should also preach the same thing. There's a reason why we've been given a Bible which gives us the gospel of the kingdom, and it is a tragedy that we as God's people spend so much time talking about so many other things in which God has given us to learn and understand. Turn to the first one of the four Gospels, to Matthew 4. And I'm going to read right through some of the Gospels, some of the verses and so on that would have to do with Christ and some of the disciples. We claim and we believe and understand that we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Personally, He is an example to us. As our God, He is our guide, our word, our light, our instruction, our salvation, our redemption in all things. And in His personal life, we should take example of what He did and find out what we should do. Ministers say, well, they preach Christ, or they follow Christ, but let's see how many do or what they should do if they were to follow Him. Matthew 4, after Christ was tempted of the devil, I read in verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the first thing we find out about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In verse 24, it said, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought into him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with the devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. So his ministry consisted primarily of two things. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed people of various diseases. And in Matthew 9, in verse 35, I read, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. In Matthew 10 is the story of his choosing of 12 disciples, men who were to aid him in his ministry, men who were to obey his instructions and go out and preach. And it says in verse 6, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, and freely give. He told them to do the same thing that he was doing. Preach the gospel of the kingdom and heal people of various and diverse diseases. In verse 27, he gives us a rather startling method of preaching. I don't think many people do it, but it's symbolic, of course. He said, what I tell you in darkness, that preach ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye up on the housetop. That preach ye upon a housetop. Just imagine the idea there in those days without the radio, without television, without the high-speed printing presses. What an effective way to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Go right up on the housetop and just shout it out for all to hear. Now, he didn't tell these people to do it, but he was giving them the idea that this should go out to everyone. Everyone should hear this gospel that he was telling them that they should preach. Don't hide it, and I'll tell you these things in secret, you go out and tell them to the people. I'll tell you these things in private, you go out and preach them from the housetop. Well, I suppose down through the centuries, people didn't really recognize that eventually we would be preaching these things from the housetop. When you consider radio and television and things like that, it is literally preaching from the housetop. You go on a radio station and that beam goes right out over the whole city or the area, right out over all the homes, and all they need is a little electrical device that you can carry in your hand and they can hear you. So we are and have been given the means to preach from the housetops the thing that Jesus Christ told us to preach. Mark also tells of the choosing of the 12 a little briefer than Matthew does in chapter 3 in verses 14 and 15. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him that he might send them forth to preach. This was the purpose that God ordained these 12 men, to go out and preach. He didn't ordain them so that they could go out and raise money for him or buy the food or arrange the housing and set up the conferences. He ordained these men so they could go out and preach. And in verse 15 it says, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And I'm going to come back to that healing and casting out of devils a little later on after we talk a little more about the kingdom itself. Now, Luke told the same thing in the 9th chapter, verses 1 and 2, which I'll not take time to read, but you can read it and you'll see it's the same story. Preach the gospel of the kingdom, and to heal the sick, and to cast out devils. These were all included in almost every time he gave the instructions. In the 8th chapter of Luke, starting in verse 1, and it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with them. Now, that was prior to the resurrection. Turn over to the book of Acts. And the story of the Acts of the Apostles begins with the days right after the resurrection. Christ has died. The redemption has been complete. He said on the cross, it is finished. And now, you'd think he'd change his ministry, wouldn't you? But I read in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So what did Jesus Christ do in those 40 days? He preached to his disciples of the kingdom of God. Went right on doing the same thing he had done before. He did not change his ministry. Now you recognize that the event, the historical event that had to take place in a period of time of his actual shedding of his blood had taken place, but the preaching was the same thing. The gospel of the kingdom. And Christ spent deliberately 40 days with these men who had to go out and then follow and preach without him. They were no longer able to go with Jesus. He was not going to be with them. He was going to go to the right hand of the Father. So he gave them 40 days of instruction on those things pertaining to the kingdom. He didn't talk to them about the Roman Empire. He didn't talk to them about what was going to happen as the people moved across and settled the new lands. He didn't talk to them about the corruption that was in the synagogue. He didn't talk to them about the daily problems of their life and so on. He talked to them of one thing, kingdom of God, for 40 days, so that they would have the instruction. Now, the book of Acts, I hardly know what to read out of this, and I'm going to only read a few references in the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, the words preach, preached, or preaching are in there 38 times. 38 times, because the story of the founding of the Christian church is literally the story of preaching. Preaching. This is what these men did. This is what they did as they traveled around from place to place. This was the thing that got them in trouble. This was the thing that converted the people. This was the thing that built the church. Preaching. And the story of the book of Acts is nothing more nor less than the disciples and then those who were gathered with them doing one thing. Preaching the story of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Acts 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the day for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. What happened? The preaching did two things. It got the minister in jail and converted 5,000 people. Now, you go out today and find out someone who's supposedly converting a lot of people, he doesn't go to jail anymore, does he? No. These men were preaching something that the political people desired not to have preached, but it was the kingdom, and it converted people by the thousands. Acts 5, in verses 26 through 29, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. These preachers are having to answer to the civil and political authorities again. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. What a thing! These men had preached the gospel to the extent that they had filled the city with their doctrine. And that's all they did, preached the word. You fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. What was God's instruction? Well, God's instruction was given by God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's all he told them to preach. Didn't tell them to preach all of this nonsense that you hear being preached today. In verses 40, they were told to stop, as we know. In verse 40 it says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. These men were so effective in their preaching that the civil or the religious and political authorities actually beat them. But they let them go, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And remember, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and then look what they did. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. These men were ordained preachers. They were ordained teachers. And they were supposed to preach and teach the Word of God to the people. And apparently, their obedience was such it didn't make any difference what happened to them. If they were beaten, they preached the Word. If they were ordered not to preach the Word, they preached the Word. No matter what the civil and political authorities did to them, they preached the word. Now, I have talked to enough ministers and individuals to recognize today that many, many ministers in America have watered down their preaching whenever they get criticism. And they don't have to be beaten. They can have some person in the church who is a good giver, gives a lot of money, well, go to the minister and say, well, pastor, I don't like that preaching on such and so, and so and so, and the first thing you know, that minister doesn't preach on such and so anymore. Don't have to beat him over the head anymore. You just have to have a little conversation, imply you might not give so much money next month, and the minister changes his preaching to fit what the people want to hear. And these men, and I know that many of us, many Christian people, have marveled at the growth of the early church. They read the story in the book of Acts, and they read history, which verifies this, that after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, these men, traveling by foot, by horseback, I should imagine occasionally, by sailing ship, or ships rowed with oars, spread the gospel of the kingdom across the Mediterranean area and to the continent of Europe, so that within 300 years, Rome officially was declared Christian. And they didn't have a radio or a tape recorder or a television set or a huge arena to preach in at all. But they did one thing. They preached and preached and preached and preached. And God said to these people, you go preach the gospel of the kingdom. Preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And, of course, the results came from the preaching. The results didn't come from the high-speed printing presses that they had, or the radio, or the television, or anything else. The only thing that could have brought those results, and must have brought those results, was the preaching of the Word. Well, anyway, as we go on through the book of Acts, you know that Stephen was killed for his preaching, and then after his death, we read in chapter 8, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, and this was before Paul's conversion, and you know the story. He was out actually trying to put these people in prison and put them to death. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they all quit preaching and went underground or moved into the Rocky Mountains and hid out. Doesn't say that, does it? Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I do not agree with some ministers, and I will make this statement about some kingdom ministers too, because this is something that we've had letters on, people write and ask us, and they hear this. There is a movement, not only among kingdom ministers, but also among the so-called anti-communist groups, to convince people that somehow or other what we should prepare to do was to buy some land up in some mountain somewhere or back in some valley and get all of our things together and our guns and the supply of food and move up there and hide out. Get away from the terrible thing that's coming upon us. Well, brother, sister, the thing that's coming upon us can't be much worse than I just read in these first few verses of chapter 8. Here we have a man who was in charge of literally a soldiery or a constabulary from the Jewish synagogue, who was actually arresting people, taking them to prison, entering their homes, and it doesn't give any indication here that he had a search warrant or a warrant for their arrest, actually broke down the door, went right in and carried these Christians out, and said they were scattered abroad. We know from other parts of the epistles and the mentions of Paul and Peter and the rest of these that these people lost their property, they lost their homes, they were beaten, many of them were killed, and they did one thing in verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. You know, there is one thing, and I believe one thing, that there's going to be one thing that's going to confound the enemies of America and Christianity. And that is the more they persecute the true believers, the more the true believers are going to preach and believe God's word. And I don't think the enemies of Israel and the enemies of America are going to understand that. They won't be able to understand it. They'll think they can physically destroy the church of God. And they're going to find that when they turn around and attempt to physically destroy the church of God, they're going to help build the church of God into a mighty army that will sweep them right out of the land. They don't know that. I don't think they understand that. And I don't think they ever will. I don't think they'll understand how you can persecute Christian people and cause the Christian church to grow from the persecution. And actually, we can see that the two things, and I shouldn't just say, well, preaching built the church in the early centuries because persecution had its share to do with it too. But the Christian ministers ordained by Christ, the disciples and the apostles, and the men who followed them, no matter what happened, they continued to do one thing. Preach the word. Preach the kingdom. Acts 14. In the first verse through the seventh. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogues of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. And these words, of course, are Judeans and Hellenes. It means they have a geographical connotation, not a religious one. The Judeans and the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Judeans stirred up the nations of the Gentiles, of the people, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. They raised up a mob against these preachers. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both to the Gentiles, and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully, and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled. Now, they found out that here was a mob actually was going to come and stone him, possibly kill him, so they left. They were prudent. You don't tempt God. You don't say, well, look at this army over here, and they're coming. Well, I'm going to stand and do a thing to me. Oh, Christian people have sense and reason, too, when they're faced with this kind of a thing. So they left and went to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and under the region that lieth round about. And what did they do there? And there they preached the gospel. If it got to the point where they were actually physically forced to leave and be driven out, well, they just left the place where the greatest danger was and went over somewhere else and preached the gospel. But they never stopped preaching the gospel. And it goes on and tells some of the healings, of course, that happened immediately after that, where the preaching of the word brought about the physical healing of a number of people, told in the same chapter. Now, part of this that I've said, and in fact, quite a bit of what I've read this morning, was brought about by my attending a conference here in Phoenix Friday night. I don't know whether any of the rest of you folks were there or not, but Brother Snook and I went down. And I want to give you an idea of what happened there and show you the comparison and maybe see why America is in the trouble it's in. This was a conference called the Free America Conference. It's sponsored by Harry Everingham and the group here in Phoenix called We the People. And they have Friday night, all day Saturday, and all day today speakers, including such men as John Steinbacher, James R. Taylor, Dr. Billy James Hargis, Willis E. Stone, General Clyde Watts, Jessica Payne, and Harry Everingham, Mrs. Mel Gabler, and these are all people who are the chairman, presidents, or heads of various anti-communist conservative organizations. And I believe they started at 7:30 on Saturday morning, and they would go all the way through to 10 o'clock Saturday night. I think they started at 7:30 again this morning, and they're probably down there all day until 10 o'clock tonight. Well, Brother Snook and I went down there. This is an organization that claims to be Christian. All of the people they invited also claim to be Christians, and they claim that they're going to preach and teach about America and save America or free America from world communism. This was the theme of the whole thing. We went down Friday night, and I want to give you just a little bit of a rundown of what happened there, so you can see the difference between where the word is preached and where it's not. It started about 7:45, and Harry Everingham spoke for about 40 minutes, until about 8:25. I kept track of the time. 40 minutes, which is going to be about the same length of time I'm going to speak this morning. And all he did was tell how bad America was as far as the communists were concerned. He made it very plain that the communists control all the news media, they control all the educational system, they control the entire political apparatus, and they now have either taken control of our army or disarmed it to such an extent that we have no military apparatus on our side. In other words, they have control of everything. We are literally on our last legs. We're about ready to be destroyed. It's just about the end, and so on. This was about 40 minutes, including a statement by him that they had spent $1,600 on advertising their meetings, and he was a little discouraged because only 160 people had shown up, and he had to raise some money so that they wouldn't have a deficit and so on and so on. And he was really appealing for funds, at which time he then stopped and introduced Billy James Hargis. Most of you know who he is, so I don't have to explain that he has a radio ministry of 300 and some stations, every day of the week, covering the entire United States, talking against the communists. Well, Billy James Hargis had been introduced as having just returned from a world tour of 2 weeks, and he was going to tell us all of the things that he had found out on this world tour, which was the reason I went down there. I wanted to hear what Billy James Hargis had to say about India and South Vietnam and Korea and Italy and Greece and so on. But lo and behold, instead of telling us about that, he started right out telling the people that he's ready to go on another tour of Palestine and that they can go for only $525 plus their additional personal expenses, probably for $800, what was going to leave, what time, the date, come along with us, the plush jet, we're going to stay on an ocean liner when we get over to the Mediterranean, and then we'll go back and forth by ship, we'll go to Egypt, and we'll go. And he went on and on and on and missed all this thing, and it's only $800 per person. Now, mind you, 160 gray-haired people, and Pastor Emery happens to be 45, in case some of you people don't know that, and I was practically the youngest person in that crowd. There might have been 10 people younger than I was. The rest of them were gray-haired people. I'm sure many of them on Social Security couldn't possibly spend $800 to go over to the Holy Land in Greece, but they were there, as I was, to find out what we could do about saving America. And he went on, and he went on, and he went on. For 15 minutes, and I got up and walked over to outside to the ticket table, asked the people if there was some way they could stop him and get him on the subject that we came down to hear him. Nothing happened. He went on for another 5 minutes, so I got up, walked up to the podium, and motioned Harry Everingham to come over to the side, which he did, and asked him if there was any way we could stop Harvard Hargis's commercial and get on with the story about his trip of what was going on in the world. Well, I turned around and walked back to my seat, and when I sat down beside Brother Snook, Hargis was talking about Thailand. Apparently he knew what I'd come up for. So then he spent 40 minutes on just showing you the ridiculous situation we're in. America is literally on its last leg, according to the first speaker. The second speaker wants us all to get up and spend $800 to take a tour over to Jerusalem, while the nation supposedly is just, you know, a year or two, what do we got left? Maybe they'd be gone by the time they got back from the tour, I don't know. But anyway, Hargis then did tell us about the rest of the world. And he went all the places he'd been, Thailand, Cambodia, and the main theme was this, and I believe this is true, and I was interested to learn it, that's why I went down there, that Richard Nixon's statement that he was going to China and the movement of Red China in the United Nations has now taken every pro-American nation in Asia and is forcing them to do business either with Russia or China, and Japan and North Korea and South Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand and India and Pakistan and all of them, name them all, have already sent delegations either to Russia or to China, and they're going to make treaties. In other words, communism, one side or the other, is going to take over all of Asia as a result of what was happening with Richard Nixon. Well, this is information that's important for people to know. But again, he spent about 20-some minutes on that, and I timed him. I had a tape recorder with me, and I was taping all of this. Finally, after 55 minutes of either good news, let's go on a luxury tour to the Mideast, or bad news, America's about all done for, after 55 minutes, this preacher, an ordained preacher who claims he's the head of an organization called Christian Crusade and so on, says, I'm going to close with a verse of Scripture. And I said, and I guess a few people around me heard it, well, it's about time. Not only to close, but to read a verse of Scripture. And so then he spent 5 more minutes before he read the verse of Scripture. And here's the verse of Scripture he read. We happen to read it in Sunday school, but let's turn to it. Matthew 18 and verse 19. Again I say unto you, and these are the words of Jesus, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now mind you, the people had been already subject to 1 hour and 35 minutes of information that we Christian people are just about ready for the final destruction. And then the man has the audacity to read the verse that says, if any two of you will agree for anything, God will do it. Well, do you know what was the truth of the situation? I doubt if there were more than two people, and I'm counting Frank and I, in that room that believed that verse of Scripture. Because their faith had already been destroyed by the preacher who told them that the devil and his world communism was ready to destroy Christianity, and it was soon going to be all over as far as you Christians are concerned. 55 minutes of destroying the faith of the people, and then he has the audacity to read the verse that says, well, if two of us will agree on anything, God will do it. And I know, as sure as I'm standing here this morning, that there probably wasn't a handful of people in that audience who actually believed that God could do what he said he would do. Because the appearance was that God and his religion and his people, everything he has planned for, is all over, it's all done, brother, it's about the end of it. The communists have the whole world. Now that's not preaching the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. That's preaching the bad news of Satan's false kingdom and implying that Satan has all power and all authority and can do anything he wants to. And by the way, he quit in just a few minutes after that by making a strong plea for funds to help Harry Everingham raise the $1,600 that he had spent in order to get that money back in. In other words, when you come right down to it, there were only a few things that were important. Number one, it's important that you spend or should spend $800 to take a trip over to the Orient. Number two, it's important you should give a few dollars here so we can get the $1,600 we spent already. And number three, brother, sister, it's about all over anyway. The world's gone. The communists are going to take over. What a terrible thing to subject Christian people to. Do you understand why the Christian people are being destroyed? They're not being built up. They're not being edified. They're not being taught. They're actually being destroyed by men who say they're ordained preachers. Can you imagine what would have happened in the early church if Paul and Peter and these men had gone out and told them how powerful the Catholic Church was going to become? Why, brother, sister, the Catholic Church is going to take over the whole of the Roman Empire. That wasn't what Paul taught. Paul taught them that in the end of the age, after the prophecies had been fulfilled, that Jesus Christ was going to come and destroy the wicked and rule on the earth in a kingdom. And these people lived and lived gloriously and died in some cases as they had to for that gospel, not for this other nonsense that you hear over and over and over. And he also gave me one other piece of information which you people might want to have, which was rather startling. But Mr. Hargis stated, after all of this, that their monthly budget is now $350,000 a month. Billy James Hargis, who will spend 55 minutes preaching to a handful of gray-haired old people who are, many of them, frightened for their very lives, spends $350,000 a month of their money and has not one iota of comfort to give them from the gospel of the kingdom. Not a single piece of comfort could he leave with those people. There wasn't a smile on the face of that audience afterwards, except maybe Frank and I. And I suppose some of these people think we're a little crazy because we can stand around and talk about the communists and we can smile about it. We've read the last chapter in the book. We know how the story is going to come out. But those poor people down there just don't know that. Verse 6 of chapter 4 of Hosea says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now, those people down there thought they were giving the people knowledge. But that isn't what God means. "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." By the way, we had quite a conversation with some of the people who were running the book tables in the rear of the room. Many of them good Christian people, I believe. And they were a little startled as we pointed out our only objection to the whole thing was that we were down there for 2 hours and 45 minutes and all we heard was one verse of Scripture. And I told that one, there were four people standing at one table, and they didn't deny it. I told them what these people need in this room tonight and tomorrow and Sunday is preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher at that pulpit up there preaching the word from the Bible. That's what they needed. There isn't another preacher scheduled down at that meeting down there. Mr. Hargis was the only one. He brought one verse of Scripture, and then for two more days, all they have are men there telling them how bad things are. And our people are being destroyed, absolutely being destroyed with that. Turn over to the 20th chapter of Acts, starting in verse 7. And let's see what brought the gospel and the word in the church to Greece. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, I'm not going to talk until midnight this morning, but just stop and think of this situation. Paul was leaving, and this is the reason why he spoke so long. But he started, and he kept right on preaching until midnight. What was he preaching? About things that were happening in the world, or how bad the enemy was, or what the devil was doing? He was preaching the thing that the Bible tells us Paul preached all the way through the Scripture. The gospel of the kingdom and those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Preached until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. People had to light these candles and things so they could see and listen to this preaching. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. As Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up for dead. A man almost died from a fall because he fell asleep because Paul preached so long. You know, brother and sister, I have a suspicion that sometime in the next few years, as the satanic darkness closes around this nation, we're going to find preachers preaching for hours and hours and hours to people who are going to be coming to preachers and saying, "Tell us what's in the Word." Now, this is already happening to some extent. Some of you know this. Some of you do this. You know that all the sermons are taped, and I usually preach for about 45 minutes. We have a 5-day radio broadcast, which is an hour and 15 minutes. So that our tape ministry, we send out a 2-hour tape every week. I get letter after letter after letter back from people who listen to those 2-hour tapes for 2 and 3 and 4 times that week. 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, and some of them get Pastor Sensitive tapes, and they listen to his a couple, 3 times. Some of these people, these good Christian people, these Israelites, are already listening to hours and hours and hours of preaching. And I believe it's coming to pass and will come to pass to a greater extent. Our good friends up in Wyoming, when we were up there, told us of several times where they've gotten together with the other people and they started listening to they have no kingdom preacher in the area. All they have is tapes. They would start listening to sermons on tape, kingdom sermons about the gospel of the kingdom at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. They would just have a regular church service, and they would still be listening to tapes at 12 o'clock Sunday night. They would stop to eat at noon, they stopped to eat in the evening, and they listened to kingdom preaching all day long from 10 o'clock on Sunday morning till 12 o'clock on Sunday night. And those people are the people, I believe, whose faith is going to save America. And it's going to save America because they hear the gospel of the kingdom, and they hear the preaching. Now, before I run completely out of time, I want to read a couple letters here. I won't read too much of them, but I want to show you. And these are only typical, actually, of many letters that we get of what's happening when the gospel of the kingdom gets to people. And this is not to proclaim that Emory is any great preacher. This is happening, and other ministers tell me they get letters just like this, too. The same thing, and it's happening all over America. This man writes from Wilmer, Alabama, and says, "Isn't it wonderful to study the Word of God?" 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Going back to 2 Peter 1:2, we are told that grace and peace are multiplied through knowledge. If we are to grow spiritually, we must be fed on knowledge. Paul states in his letter to the Hebrews, you know what he's doing? He's preaching in his letter that he's writing to me. What's wrong with that? We're supposed to preach, aren't we? Well, here's a layman writing back to Pastor Emory, and he is so filled with the Word of God, he can't write a letter without preaching. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe some of our people will get to the point where every time they write to friends, relatives, and everybody else, they'll preach a sermon when they write. I wouldn't be surprised he does this with his friends. Anyway, he goes on a little further and he says, "I praise the Lord for your witness, because it was through reading some of your literature that I learned the identity of Israel. And it's been through continued reading and listening to the tapes that I have learned so much about the kingdom of God and of prophecy. When a person understands a few key facts concerning the Bible, then everything else seems to make sense. Until about a year ago, when I first acquired your literature, I could read Scripture without ever understanding what I was reading. Now I'm going to make a comment about casting out devils. Do you know that that man was a Christian and he could not read the Scripture and understand it? You know why? Because the devil had blinded his eyes. Now, Emory's preaching, or somebody's preaching, of the gospel of the kingdom unbound him from the devil so he could read the Word of God and understand it, to the extent he writes me a letter and he preaches to me now. And a year ago, the man said, I couldn't understand the Bible when I was reading it. Here's another letter from a radio listener. We enjoy your teachings over the radio, that we are Israel. After we have found the truth about ourselves, we have a new outlook on life. The Scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I have really just begun to live knowing the truth in the Scripture like I do. My mother and I enjoy your teaching on the radio. Please send us the literature, and so on and so on. Talking about healing people, she said, I have just begun to live after I learned the truth of the Bible. The good doctor knows that many people are physically ill because of negative thoughts in their minds, right? It affects their physical body, and they have illnesses, and they go to doctors, and they end up in hospitals, and they die of illnesses that are caused because they don't know the gospel of the kingdom. I have a suspicion that the gospel of the kingdom has healed more people of physical illness than all the healers in the history of the human race. I remember reading some articles about the pilgrims who came over here to America. You know that many of them died the first winter because of food, starvation, disease, and so on. But after that, after the first Thanksgiving, according to Bradford and the rest of the men who wrote the history, they record the deaths in the Pilgrim colony. And you know what ages those people died at? 90, 97, 96, 102, 88. Out of some 30 deaths recorded in the Pilgrim colony in the next few years after they got through this one terrible winter, only two died under 80 years of age. You know, the doctors today wouldn't believe that. They didn't have hospitals. They didn't have any nurses, didn't have any needles and shots, didn't have oxygen masks, didn't have any of those things. And those people were hearing the gospel of the kingdom, and they lived to the age that God said people should live. By reason of strength, they lived beyond their 40, 30, and 10. And they did. They lived 10, 15, 20, 30 years beyond the age of 70. The doctors think it's wonderful if we make it to 70 today. And they didn't have anything to heal them except the gospel of the kingdom. And I believe the gospel of the kingdom has healed more people and cast out more devils, than anything else that's happened in this land. Let's close in 2 Timothy. Because I want to show you that this is actually something that is true. In verse 24 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, the preacher is to preach to people so that people will turn around and acknowledge the truth. And look what he says about those who haven't come to the point of acknowledging the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Did you know that Christian people who have not come to an acknowledgement of the truth of God, of the truth of the gospel of the kingdom, are actually in the snare of the devil? And Paul said to Timothy, he said, you preachers are the ones who should preach the word of God, so people can understand it and get out of the snare of the devil. Do you understand why Christ gave these people authority and instruction to preach the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, and cast out devils? You know what heals the sick and casts out devils? The Word of God. The Word of God. It's not somebody standing up and saying, well, now you can be healed if you'll just come forward and if you'll believe and if you'll do all this. The Word of God heals people and families and churches and nations. And nations. So what's got to be done with it? It's got to be preached. It's got to be preached. What better food and medicine can you give to the sick American people?